The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and a warm welcome along to the Daily Racing Podcast brought to you by William Hill. You join us on Tuesday's podcast ahead of racing at Exeter, Carlisle and Southall. And we'll have it all covered, of course, on William Hill Racing Radio from 1:50pm with Gareth Topham, John Babb and Ollie Pimlott in the studio. But in the meantime, my name is Sam Norris and joining me ahead of Tuesday's podcast to take a look at some of the racing and a reflection on the 3 days at Aintree is James Millman. How are you today, James? Good?
Yeah, pretty good, thank you.
Fantastic 3 days at the Aintree Festival, topped off by the Grand National. And as you can imagine, that's the feature of the Monday Jury. Did you enjoy the racing over the weekend?
Yeah, it was good quality. And the main thing, as usual with the Grand National, was that we had no fatalities this
year.
And it has such a big media presence outside the racing press that that's kind of the main thing, because unfortunately, if anything does happen, a few of the tabloids are very keen to suddenly put the race down and put racing as a whole down.
Yeah.
So that was always the most important thing. I was very concerned for Balthazar King when he obviously had that bad fall at the canal turn, and especially when the screens went up, it didn't look great. But luckily, he managed to go to the vets, and they're pretty hopeful he's up and happy this morning. So hopefully he can make the road to recovery. But a cracking spectacle as always, and a deserved winner in many clouds.
Yeah, fantastically. Gutsy, tough horse, that one. And as you mentioned, Balthazar King, suspected broken ribs, they say. So
nasty.
Fortunately, yeah.
But
not
hopefully,
fatal.
Not yet. Not life-threatening. So
absolutely. Which is wonderful news, of course. We'll go to the Monday jury then. And, of course, it starts with the Grand National. First question up, who gets your bouquets and brickbats in the National? And we assume that means pros and cons.
Yeah, I think they've... slightly different expression.
It's not one I've heard before.
Yeah, same there. Maybe it's a past expression that the older generation might well know, Sam, but me and you have passed us by.
Not for us.
But the good thing, like I mentioned, was that all 39 horses came back, which was the main thing for the race and for racing as a whole. And hopefully Balthazar King makes a full recovery. But the negative, perhaps AP McCoy not winning could have been an even bigger story for racing. But generally... It was a great race and a really deserving winner in many clouds.
Yeah, it certainly was. Is there a horse who didn't run in the National that you would have liked to see?
Rajani Express, I think, maybe next year. Jumped really, really well, winning the Topham. Stamina, perhaps a question mark.
Yeah.
But Sam Whaley-Cohen's got a cracking record over these fences. Unfortunately, when I nap, one of his rides won when I fell out the first in the Fox Hunters. But apart from that, when I don't put the mockers on him, he has got an excellent record. And perhaps that one there. But it was a cracking field this year. It was an extremely competitive event. There was a whole host of horses you could fancy. And it was great to see a horse with plenty of weight, many clouds. I think he had 11 stone 9.
Yeah.
Winning a Hennessy, winning a Gold Cup trial. Did disappoint in the big race itself. But to bounce back 4 weeks later was a cracking effort. And it was good to see a horse of his calibre win the race.
Yeah. Would Rajani Express, do you think, be suited to one of the shorter Nationals, maybe?
Just his jumping. He really, really did excel over the fences. And Sam Whaley-Cohen's record... Whether he'll stay, that is the main question. He may not even have a run in it. So Nicky Anderson's got such a poor record. Didn't even have a run in the race this year. And it's the one big race that he's still left to win. But like I say, if there was a horse that I wanted to see in it that wasn't, he perhaps would be the one. But realistically, we had a really, really strong field in 2015.
Absolutely, yeah. Do you see Safer de Ruhr or Don Cossack as potential Gold Cup winner? Obviously, they both performed well over the Aintree Festival weekend.
They both performed well. This year, we've got an exceptional crop of novices, and the best of them probably weren't seen at Aintree. Don Cossack, he was impressive when he won. He won nicely and did well to beat Q Card in what was a competitive melon. He perhaps could well be the main one. Safer de Ruhr, jumping still are going to be a concern for me. Yes, he won nicely on the better ground, but perhaps when it comes under pressure, that is a concern for me. Big Bucks won that race as well as a novice before he fell again in the Hennessy. Interesting to see where Safer de Ruhr starts off next year. Paul Nicholls is convinced that he's perhaps his next Gold Cup horse. Savannah Gaconti obviously doesn't stay the trip, doesn't have the undulations at Cheltenham. So they're relying on Safer de Ruhr. and it'll be interesting to see what happens. But Don Kaslak out of the two would be for me. But like I say, Vautour, he was so impressive at Cheltenham. Couldn't agree himself, as long as he comes back sound and ready to go again next season. And Dom Poli, we've got a really exciting Cheltenham Gold Cup 2016 to look forward to, I suppose. And unlike this year where we were saying it's pretty open, they all finished in a bit of a heap the year before. Lord Windermere won a really bad Gold Cup. Now we've got so many potential horses for the race. It's going to be a great year, I think, for the Cheltenham Gold Cup.
Yeah, hopefully we'll be. Next up is Sizing Granite, the next Sizing Europe. Big shoes to fill.
Big shoes to fill. It's just, he's not a William Mullins trained chaser, really, isn't he?
Yeah.
With Undercer not running at Aintree, it was a pretty weak Grade 1 novice chase. I don't think God's Own ran to his best, ran to his Cheltenham form anyway, when he was second to Undercer. So I think Sizing Granite's got a little bit to improve, but with the right connections, and he's a decent horse in his own right. But I do think if Undercer was in it, he would not have seen which way he went.
Is Nicholas Canyon a potential player in the 2016 champion or world hurdle? I suppose the champion hurdle would look the more obvious one, would you say?
Yeah, definitely. He too keen in at Cheltenham. I think another horse that I napped and and went downhill, but certainly much better at Aintree. He's got a lot of flat ability. He's rated in the hundreds over on the flat. You'd imagine that a champion hurdle would be probably the better option. But again, trained by William Mullins. William Mullins has got so many horses for these races, it's hard to know where he's ever going to run them. So remains to be seen, but he's going to crack in hurdler for next year.
Yeah, it's a nice headache for William Mullins to have, I suppose. And finally, what other horses caught your eye over the 3 days?
Yeah, I think that what they've mentioned in here, Barters Hill, 4 out of 4 in his bumpers for Ben Paulin, a trainer. I think he's really on the up. This horse won at 25-1 first time out, and big shock in the yard because he'd shown absolute zero in the gallops. He said he was the worst workhorse they've ever had. And basically they thought he would be a 3 mile chaser in the mud and extremely slow. But won on debut, improved every single start and was extremely game when winning the four-timer in the bumper there at Aintree. And he's just probably one of those horses where they don't do anything much at home, but suddenly when he gets the racecourse, they really, really improve. And he could well be anything, and his attitude is amazing. So he was impressive. And obviously, Malcolm Jefferson's horse, Cirrus Darius, won well as well. Great to see the North have a good hurdler. I thought Glingerburn perhaps would have been the one in that race for Nicky Richards. He disappointed, but luckily the North had a real top-class replacement in Cirrus Darius. And it's great to see the North have a decent horse.
Yep, good then. That just about concludes the Monday jury then, after a fantastic weekend's action of Aintree. We'll move ahead then to take a look at some of Tuesday's best action. We've got 3 jumpers and 1 flat race to look forward to, 3 from Exeter and 1 from Suddle. We'll start with those Exeter races. First up is the 2:30. This one is a handicap hurdle over the extended 2 mile and 7 furlong trip. It's a class 3, just 4 of them line up for it. We've got a horse here in the shape of Tara Tavey chasing a hat-trick, James.
Yes, Tara Tavey is an extremely game mare. Talking about Barters Hill earlier on the podcast, this filly is all guts, and she won really, really well at Toaster last time out. Up in grade here, but there's only 4 runners. The ground's got very quick at Exeter. Good to firm ground. Shame to see a small field, but this time of year, people are not willing as such to risk horses on this ground. She's got every chance. Sandy now is obviously interesting. Won nicely 8 days ago. £7 penalty, but Sean Bowen takes off a useful £3. A jockey riding high on confidence at the moment, so you can certainly see that one being a danger. Cash Injection's also been pretty consistent. It's got a course win next to his name. While the Italian Job being disappointing, but Lizzie Kelly takes off a useful £7. Rides well. So all 4, you could certainly give a bit of a chance to. I'm probably going to go with the game mare, Tara Tavey, to get the hat-trick up. She goes well for £7 claim at Connor Smith. But for me, any of those 4 could win. I wouldn't really be surprised which one popped up. But Tara Tavey will be the one.
Okay, Tara Tavey then going the nod for James in what could potentially be quite a tight race at Exeter. Next up then is the 3 o'clock. This one is a handicap chase over 3 mile and 6 furlongs. 8 of them line up to contest this. It's going to take a bit of getting, this one, James.
Yeah, 3 mile, 6, a proper marathon there at Exeter. And it will be hard work. And a lot of these are inconsistent types that have been a little bit disappointing. The Paul Nichols Bucks Bond has been beaten favourite, pulled up the last twice. And he really does need to bounce back from his disappointing efforts. But he's got tongue tie and blinkers on, and the better ground should see him to better effect under Sam Twiston Davis. But I think the Philip Hobbs combination could be the ones to concentrate on at Thomas, Wild and All the King's Horses. As All the King's Horses has been off the track for 160 days, he may just need this on his return, or he could just simply be freshened up for the better ground and for this race in particular. James Best rides him. Well, Mikael Nolan, Tixerad and Thomas Wild, and Thomas Wild will be the selection for Philip Hobbs. A course winner, been in generally pretty consistent form in recent starts, placed in a race where most of these do struggle to win. Perhaps it will be Thomas Wild's day in the marathon chase there at Exeter. Oviedo's American legend, been pretty consistent, perhaps a little bit high in the handicap now for John Joe Neal and Richie McLernan. But yeah, generally a pretty competitive race, if filled of exposed horses, but Thomas Wild will be the one where the selection is.
Okay, Thomas Wild then for James in the 3 o'clock at Exeter. Next up is the 3:35. It's one handicap hurdle over 2 miles and one furlong. It's a class four with nine of them down to go to post. So a decent each way shape to the race. Who do you like here?
Yeah, well, my dad's actually got a very rare hurdle runner. Princess Annabelle runs 672 days off a track. I think this is our first hurdle runner the whole season.
Yeah.
I mean, we're leaving it a little bit too late. But she's actually a nice filly. Unfortunately, we couldn't get her ready when the ground was soft and it may be a little bit on the quick side for her tomorrow. Classical Art is obviously an interesting one. David Pipe's runner bounced back to form 12 days ago, won pretty nicely. Michael Hurd takes off a useful £7. He looks like the type that's improved for this quicker surface and probably better than his actual mark of 111 suggests. So Classical Art will be the selection. Dangerous will be Vodka and Tonic, a very consistent runner for Nicky Henderson, always there or thereabouts, but just struggles to get his head in front, and that will be the main concern of him. But the son of presenting, you know he's going to like the quick ground. Castani Beach won one of the military races at Sandown last night. That wasn't really strong form. I think he will struggle back in a professional race. Jolly Rogers probably a better alternative for an each way bet. Back to form second last time out. But I do think Classical Art for David Pipe will be pretty hard to beat.
Okay, then Classical Art for James, then back into to follow up on his most recent win. We'll move then over to the flats for the final of our podcast previews. This one is the 4:30 at Southall. It's a 7 furlong handicap sprint. It's class four, again, with nine of them looking to contest this. What are your thoughts for this one?
Yeah, a pretty competitive Southall event, and we've got a fair few course and distance winners in the race. Six are in opposition, and a really interesting contest. The one perhaps that I'm going to go for the win will be Poppy Bonds, drawn eight. I like to be drawn wide at Southall. I think if you're drawn stuck on that inside, the ground's a little bit deeper and you just struggle to get home. So stall eight, I think, will be a positive for Poppy Bond. Being very consistent this winter in the first four and all of his last five starts. Graham Gibbons, top rider on board. That's the one for me in a competitive contest. Repetition is interesting down into 0 to 80 grade. Has been off a track for 102 days, but drawn one, stuck on that inside, and may just need the race fitness-wise as a concern with that one. Mick Appleby, always got to be feared round here, and Bognor and Kajali, both course distance winners, are going to be dangerous, but perhaps handicap has got hold of those two. So in a competitive race, we'll take a chance on Poppy Bond from stall eight for Graham Gibbons.
Poppy Bond then, the one for James. If you could just remind us, please, then your four best bets for the action on Tuesday.
Yeah, Alex, in the 3 o'clock, I've gone for Thomas Wild, and I've missed out at 2:30, and that is Tara Tavey, who's obviously a game mare in a four-runner race. Perhaps she can get the hat-trick up in the 3 o'clock, that Thomas Wild in the Stayers race. He's the most consistent of these and deserves to get a win. In the 3:35, Classical Art improved on much quicker ground at when winning 12 days ago, and he can follow up on the £7 claim. And Michael Hurd, well, finally, in the 4:30 at Savile, I have gone for Poppy Bonds to maintain a consistent run and get a win under Graham Gibbons.
Okay, fair enough. There we are then. James Millman's selections for the action and on Tuesday from Exeter and Southall. You can hear all of those cards in full alongside Carlisle from 1:50 p.m. on William Hill Racing Radio. It's Gareth Topham, Ollie Pimlott and John Babb in the studio on Tuesday afternoon. Thank you very much for joining me, James. Good luck with the bets on Tuesday.
Thank you very much.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.